We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Today, my subject is the Christian race. The language of the ancient Olympic Games was often employed by the New Testament writers, especially the Apostle Paul, in order to depict the Christian life in a way that men could understand in a practical manner. Let us consider some of the scriptures that speak of the Christian's race. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, immediately following the great chapter on faith, the inspired writer declares, "Therefore let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and hath sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Yes, this is a race before every man who looks unto Jesus as the Christ. Another very familiar passage is the statement of Paul to young Timothy. As the great apostle came to the end of his diligent race, he admonished the young preacher with these words, "Be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry. For I am already being offered, and the time of my departure is come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing." 2 Timothy 4, verses 5 through 8. The apostle knew well the necessity of endurance in the long race which the Christian is engaged in. To the Philippians he once wrote, "Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal under the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3, 13 and 14. And finally, perhaps the most familiar passage in the New Testament concerning the Christian race is found in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He declared, "I do all things for the gospel's sake, that I may be a joint partaker thereof. Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so run, that ye may attain. And every man that striveth in the games exerciseth self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, as not uncertainly. So fight I, as not beating the air. But I buffet my body, and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." 1 Corinthians 9, 23 through 27. Paul was obviously familiar with all the Olympic games and contests because he so frequently used such figures to illustrate spiritual principles. There are several clear points of analogy between the ancient Olympic races and the Christian life. In the first place, only the qualified Greeks could run. We have all heard how that on certain occasions a man or a team seemingly won an event, only to be disqualified because the man did not comply with the rules of the sport. Thus it is with the Christian race, my friends. Before one is truly qualified to run the Christian race, he must become a Christian, enter the Lord's church, the body of Christ, for the race that is most rewarding. The actual means of entrance into the Christian race is by baptism into Christ, into his body, the church. Faith in Christ, repentance toward sin, and a confession of Christ as the Son of God must all precede baptism. The act of obedience does that very fact that one is baptized into Christ, thus entering the spiritual race. In 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13, Paul revealed, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and were all made to drink of one Spirit. Yes, the Word of God states that we are baptized into the body of Christ, the household, the family of God on earth. Beloved, if you're not a child of God, a member of the body of Christ, the Lord's church, then you're not qualifying to enter into this race or to run the race until you actually enter the race. The greatest tragedy of all time would be the experience on the day of judgment when the Lord, the righteous judge, will pronounce a shocking disqualification to those who thought they were properly entered but had not actually entered the race according to the Lord's terms. Hear the words of the Lord from the Sermon on the Mount, and I say, are you listening? Jesus declared, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. My friends, are you sure that you are properly qualified for the Christian race? Did you enter the race by the way of the cross, trusting in the blood of Jesus? Did you put on Christ in baptism, as the Bible teaches, after coming to know the Lord and His will through the gospel? Remember, the terms expressed by the apostle are found clearly revealed in the Bible. For example, in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, he wrote, for you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Are you running the race in Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue this subject, the Christian race, let us remember the quality of endurance that is so vital to winning an event. A good beginning is a wonderful thing, but if one does not continue to the finish line, there will be no victory celebration. When Jesus was giving the special message to the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation, he continually emphasized the necessity of steadfastness. To the church at Ephesus, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, to him will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Revelation 2, verse 7. And in like manner, the Lord admonished the church at Smyrna, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. Revelation 2, verses 10 and 11. Don't you know that the quitter is the most unpopular figure in the world? Few people love and honor a quitter. The Lord is no exception. Some of the sharpest words in the Bible are applied to those who quit. Listen to the Apostle Peter on this point. But if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state is worse for them than the first. For it were better for them to have not known the way of righteousness, and after having known it, to turn back from the holy commandments delivered unto them. 2 Peter 2, 20-21. Yes, heaven's verdict is that the quitter is in a worse condition than the one who never really began the race. In Old Testament times, God declared, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Exodus 32, 33. And in the closing chapters of the Bible, we read the terrible outcome. And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 15. Will this be your fate? have you failed to enter the Christian race? Or, having entered the race, have you quit? From these considerations, it is obvious that there must be many hindrances along the way of the Christian race. Such hindrances or hurdles are not the Lord's chastening, but rather are the work of Satan through the means of false teachers and worldly temptations. Satan's continual mission is to hinder our obedience to the truth of the gospel. He hinders every sinner from beginning in the Christian race. And he hinders the Christian as he tries to live the faithful, consecrated life while running the Christian race. Surely one of the saddest verses ever penned in thought is found in Galatians 5:7. The apostle exhorted these Christians with these words, "Ye were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth?" These Galatian Christians had begun the race well, but now they were on the verge of returning to Judaism. In one chapter, the apostle pleaded with them, saying, "But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, how turn ye back again to the weak and beggarly rudiments, whereunto you desire to be in bondage over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid of you, lest by any means I have bestowed labor upon you in vain." Galatians 4, verses 9 through 11. Yes, so many times the preacher of the gospel has this feeling that his labors are in vain. So many people begin the race, but they soon turn back to the beggarly elements of the world. It has been my good pleasure through the years to baptize more than 7,000 people into Christ, starting them in the Christian race. Sometimes I wonder how many of them have already completed the race, how many are still running, and how many have dropped out. The Lord demands of us a race well run. He set the example before us in doing these things well. Jesus answered his critics well. He performed his miracles well. He endured the cross, the agony of the cross, so well. Yet the Lord does not demand of us a perfect race, not even an outstanding race in every case, but he does expect a race well run. He does not expect one of us to stop or take time out. He certainly expects us to do our best. The Galatians had started well, but they did not continue. Beloved, did you know that the difference between did run, the past tense, and have run, the perfect tense, is heaven? Yes, the Apostle Paul could say, "I have finished my course." Will you be able to say when you come at the end of your life that you have finished your course? Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? To run well is to continue in obedience to the gospel of Christ. We become Christians by obeying the truth of the gospel, and we remain Christians in the true sense of the term by a life of continual obedience. John, the apostle of love, declared, "And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth the word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected." 1 John 2, 3-5. For the Christian who has entered the race, it is folly indeed to look back and turn back. Jesus taught that no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke 9, verse 62. The great encouragement of the Christian race is that our Lord will help us if we sincerely desire to be victorious. As the apostle declared, "I can do all things in him that strengtheneth me." Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Beloved, enter the Christian race today, and never let it be said of you that you did run well, but you quit. Don't let Satan hinder you in the Christian race. Make sure that you have entered